Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, the podcast that travels back into time to review classic episodes of Jim Crockett Promotions Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling as they appear on the WWE Network. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined as always by my co-host Roman Gomez, and this is episode number 24. And in this edition, we'll be taking a look at the Mid-Atlantic TV program taped on Wednesday, June 23rd, 1982 at the WPCQ Studios, Channel 36 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and began airing in local markets the weekend of Saturday, June 26, 1982. If you like the podcast and want a little more of it on social media, just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod. We update everything when we can, with most of the focus going to our Twitter and Facebook pages. On the Twitter page, you will love hashtag EverydayArn, as well as On This Day in JCP TV History. And we are on all forms of social media. Just go ahead and search at Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for our logo. And if you want to follow along with us as we review these shows, you can do so by signing up for the WWE Network over at WWENetwork.com. You can also follow along by way of David Taub's write-ups of the shows, which are available over at MidAtlanticGateway.com. And finally, if you'd like to take an alternate look at this week in pro wrestling history, head on over to MidSouthPod.com, the Mid-South Television Wrestling Review Show with the great Brian Lass and Mike Mills, who cover Today in Bill Watts' Territory on episode number 28 of their program. But with all that out of the way, I bring in my co-host right now, Roman Gomez. Roman, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Mike. Thank you very much. And I hope everybody out there in podcast land is doing good and being safe.
I'm doing really good. I'm doing extra good. And I'll just tell you why right off the bat. Ricky Steamboat is back in Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. And I, my friend, am enthralled.
Always good to have the Steamer back in action.
We get a little bit of Ricky in the ring, but we actually get a lot more of Ricky on the microphone. And, you know, there's some pros and cons to that, Roman. One of the pros is he's a pro, Ricky Steamboat is, as far as getting the point across, getting the story across, being a very humble good guy. Although sometimes that's kind of a con because he is such a good guy, as we're going to hear coming up on this show. You know, usually they have the heel out there, the heel commentator, which became the, you know, most famous with Roddy Piper and Jesse Ventura. And we've had Roddy, a great dose of Roddy Piper on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, playing the co-host role with alongside Bob Cottle. And then you get Ricky out there doing the commentary, and it's a little bit more sedate and a little bit more, shall we say, Mayberry-ish.
Yeah, a lot more... I don't know if G-rated is the right word, since, you know, they didn't use profanity or anything, but definitely no confrontation. Definitely Cottle won't be needling him. You know, Ricky is one of the easiest guys to get along with, same as like Cottle. So you won't have that back and forth banter like they did with Piper and Cottle.
And the Future Dragon is back along with Jay Youngblood from All Japan Championship Wrestling. They do note that both men, although they didn't talk about them teaming over there together, did mention that both of them were over there on tour. And now that Ricky is back, he is right back into the mix, as Jack Briscoe has reached out to him and asked him to be his partner, and Ricky has agreed to it. And that's how we begin the show today, as both gentlemen join Bob after he gave a rundown of what was going to take place on the show. And they give a rundown over how they're going to be going after Roddy Piper.
Just an outstanding array of matches. And speaking about great wrestlers, we got two of them right here with us now. Jack Briscoe, Rick Steamboat. Rick,
how you doing,
welcome
Bob?
Back. Good to see
here.
You. And Jack?
Well, good to see you, Bob. And glad to see Ricky back here. And, you know, since Ricky got back from Japan, I've told him about my problems I've had with Piper and, of course, the beach bum Don Morocco. And Ricky has agreed to be my tag partner and has agreed to watch my back anytime Piper's
right
around. And we got some film here I'd like for you to show so we can show Rick exactly what
I don't think Rick has seen this, so Rick, you're going to get a look at this right now. And Jack, let's show it to all of the fans and let them see along with Rick just what has happened and what took place right here.
And at that point, they play the footage of Roddy Piper jumping off the top rope and injuring not only Jerry Briscoe, but also Tony Russo, who he had tied up with in the figure four. That then leads into Jack picking back up again, talking about Roddy almost braining him with a chair during his match with Don Morocco.
But now watch this too, Jack, and you fans, and Rick, watch this, because Jack, he would have put you out permanently here.
This is one of the luckiest moments of my life. I believe it would have been all over for me right here, Rick. You see, as he tried to take my head off with that steel chair.
I can see that.
And just fortunately, I saw it just at the last second, was able to move. And, of course, Piper and his paid-off beach bum start working me over together.
So, as you say, Jack, and Rick, as you can see, Jack needs somebody. You need somebody watching that back.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can handle Piper by myself anytime, anywhere. I just want to make sure nobody jumps in on my back, because I know Piper will pay people off. And I've talked to Ricky about it, and Ricky, as a friend, has agreed to watch the set in my corner, be my partner, and watch my back while I take care of Piper.
What about that, Rick?
You know something, Bob? We've never got up here and bragged about ourselves. We never get up here and tell everybody that we're a better wrestler than so-and-so. Actually, it just proved it right then and there, and what the people have been seeing for months upon months upon months. We feel that we are better wrestlers. And to prove it, to put the icing on the cake, what the fans have been seeing is run-ins from other wrestlers helping out these guys, helping out Piper, mm-hmm. helping out right. Slaughter. And it goes on and on and on. This only proves that we are better wrestlers than they are, that they have to have some kind of outside help. And right here now, I've heard a word traveling all the way to Japan about what they're trying to do to Jack here. They've hurt Jerry. They tried to put him out with a chair across his head, trying to lay him out for good. Now, I've heard about this all the way into Japan, reading about the wrestling news over there. Now, like I said, we never get up here and brag about that we're better than so-and-so, but we've proved it in the arenas. We've proved it on TV time and time again. It's just a proof in the pudding. It shows it where they have outside help continually coming in to help the other wrestlers. So what is Jack has asked me and I'm doing as a friend, that any time if he needs me to sit in his corner to watch for outside interference, I'll be there, Jack.
All right, fans, that's it.
Man, Roman, I wonder how Paul Jones felt about that. Remember a couple weeks ago, Paul Jones out there extending his hand. Now he's not even in the mix with Roddy Piper. He's dealing with Angelo King Kong Mosca instead. And the guy he had turned on so many times, Ricky Steamboat, is now back into the area. And he's the one who's being asked for help from Jack Briscoe. Man, too bad old number one is, I bet you that's why he's so sullen later on as we listen. And we'll listen to him at the end of the show. It's possibly because his feelings are hurt right now. And he's dealing with Angelo Mosca while these guys get to mix it up with the Moroccos and the Slaughters and the Pipers of the world.
Yeah, but, you know, as far as Steamboat goes, what better partner other than his brother could Jack Briscoe have asked for? The man never turned heel. Steamboat was a face his whole career, and loyalty and everything was definitely one of Steamboat's qualities. And, I mean, what a world-class athlete Steamboat was. So, I mean, to have Steamboat as your partner, I mean, I don't think you could ask for anything better. And something that came to me, Mike, Steamboat said that he had heard about what was going on in the Mid-Atlantic while he was in Japan. You think any of those Japanese wrestling fans voted for the Who Contributed the Most contest?
You know, they're probably waiting there too, you know, picking up their editions of the Weekly Gong and the wrestling newspapers, the plenty. And by the way, I wish Ricky would have had a little bit of a sight gag with that, actually coming back from the Japan, would have had some of those weekly and daily wrestling and sports papers there with Shirley. With, of course, the problem is they'd probably have pictures of Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen everywhere, and we wouldn't want to remind anybody of that. And oh, by the way, later on in the show, we will have a little bit of an update on Ole and Stan and the NWA World Tag Team Championship. But you're exactly right, and I don't know how many times they had teamed before that they got off this interview and jumped into the ring. But they looked like an incredibly well-oiled connection as Jack Briscoe and Ricky Steamboat faced off against Steve Seibert and Matt Bourne in our first match. And the referee of the day, Sonny Fargo, rocking his full red outfit, as you'll be able to hear him emote several times during the show. Come on, wrestle! And everything else that he says. Briscoe and Steamboat looked great. And it looked like they had been teaming for a long time, basically working on the legs of especially Steve Seibert, who ended up taking the fall in this match. But it went about 5 minutes and 50 seconds, and it started with Steamboat and Bourne. And I was really happy to see this, because I don't know if he had made an appearance on Worldwide Wrestling in the previous couple of weeks or not, but this was the first time seeing him on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling in years. It was had to be one of his first appearances in the area, after coming in from Portland. And Bourne had been in Mid-Atlantic and actually departed in December of 1980. And the last time he was in the area, he was a good guy teaming with another good guy named Buzz Sawyer. Yes, young guys, good guys, Buzz Sawyer and Matt Bourne. The last time they would be referred to, I'm sure, as good guys there. But they held the NWA Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championships, and they defeated an old crusty team of Gene Lewis and Swede Hansen in June of 1980, and then ultimately lost him to the Sheep Herders in September of 1980. And then he had went back to the Pacific Northwest, but was back in this match starting it off against Ricky Steamboat. And man, that was a good way to begin the show.
Yes, Steamboat was just lightning quick. And, you know, he was able to do his trademark arm drag. I mean, Steamboat had always had one of the best arm drags in the business. And like you said, Steamboat and Briscoe, they just gelled so good. They were so smooth together. And you probably had the same thought I did, Mike, when you saw Steamboat and Bourne. You know, like, it's crazy to think a couple years later, they would be at the very first WrestleMania wrestling against each other.
That is so wild, isn't it? It is so wild. And, you know, it's just another, you know, kind of bizarre tie into that. As David Taub notes in the write-up of this show, he does note that Bourne was coming into the area after a run in Portland where he had lost to Buddy Rose in a chain match that finished up their feud on June 15th. And Portland TV on June 16th, they said Rose and Rip Oliver had, quote, crippled Bourne in Seattle, as Rip Oliver, the crippler, could do to people. And that's why he was in. And then, as you know, Buddy Rose appearing at the first WrestleMania as the executioner against Tito Santana to open up that show, which was, again, kind of bizarre to remember, too.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, it's always kind of interesting. You know, that's part of the fun of this journey, of looking back at these things, knowing the ending of the movie, so to speak. And we can look back and kind of see how the pieces fall into place and future rivalries and where they would go. And it's just really fun to go back in time and think about some of these things.
So Steve Seibert, no surprise, on the losing end of things here. It was just a matter of who was going to get the victory, and Briscoe and Steamboat kind of worked with each other to get it. Briscoe reversed a back suplex on Seibert, and as that was going on, he tagged Steamboat in, who jumped off the top rope, delivered a big chop to Seibert. That was that. 5 minutes and 50 seconds later, Jack Briscoe and Ricky Steamboat are your winners. Go to break. When we come back, we're in the ring where we have Roddy Piper and Jake Roberts. And Ricky Steamboat has joined Bob on commentary. And as we mentioned at the beginning, Ricky Steamboat being a really good guy, and even though he was in the last match, was not winded whatsoever.
And what a match this is going to be, as Roberts now really anxious and ready to go against Roddy Piper. And moving in with us right here at ringside, Rick Steamboat. Rick, let's get you a microphone here.
Thank you.
Rick,
thank
and,
you.
Beautiful match up there with Jack Briscoe, and I'm delighted you're on here now to watch this Roddy Piper in action against Jake the Snake, Rick.
You know, you don't see matches like this very much in television. You got two main eventers out there, and obviously Jake is going to take advantage of this particular situation, wrestling a top-notch, nationally known individual such as Roddy Piper. And I'm sure Piper's thinking right now that he knows Jake the Snake and heard about him, wrestled with him. He knows his capabilities. Each one of these could take each other on any given night.
That's right, Rick. Any no doubt about that. And Roberts with that tremendous knee lift, if he can get a few of those knees into Roddy Piper, then Roddy Piper's going to get a little bit of his own medicine, what he's been doing to some of the other guys.
So as Ricky Steamboat mentioned, this is the type of match that we don't usually get on TV, a match of great proportions. Rowdy Roddy Piper, the former Mid-Atlantic and United States heavyweight champion, against Jake Roberts, with a little bit of a new attitude. As he mentioned on the show last week, after the ninja had blinded him, he had found something dark and evil inside. And we didn't see a whole lot of dark and devious in this match with Roddy Piper, but what we did see was a bunch of bandages over Jake's right eye, or left eye, I believe it was, that Piper ended up going after. And we actually got some fortuitous juice on the show, as I'm sure Roberts didn't mean to be busted open, but it played in perfectly the match. A high pace to this match, a really, really fun match, as you can imagine, between these two guys. Roddy Piper out there in full Scotch attire, had the kilt, the tartan design on the kilt. He had it on his boots. Pale as you could get, but it was still July yet. Jake looked very tan, though, so there was that. But bottom line is, you can't have a match like this on TV with gentlemen like this and have it end cleanly. You know, we would, as fans, unfortunately, learn that as we would go along. You talk to the older heads, they would know it. If they saw a camera, they knew a title change was happening on a house show, and many of them would figure out the formula to these matches with these stars on TV. They were going to end nefariously, And that was the same case that happened here. Piper was really taking it to Roberts for a while, had caught him in a sleeper hold. But you know what? Roberts was able to sneak out of it and start going for the knee lifts, and that's when everything started to go south.
Piper with that sleeper as Roberts is fighting it. They're both down on the mat. Roberts gets a foot now across the bottom rope.
That's particularly
that surprised me that Piper even went for the sleeper, Rick.
That's a smart move on Roberts' part. Why try and fight your way out of it? If you're that close to the ropes, get out of that particular hole.
Piper high to the air, missed that knee drop. Roberts rolled right out from under it. Here's Roberts now, rights and left. Piper, high to the air with a backflip. And then the third is knee lift. Only two, and again, Piper kicks out. What a match, man. What excitement right here. And then, Sergeant Slaughter just reaches in.
Sonny Fargo saw that.
Yep. He says, ring the bell.
The match is over. What's going on here?
Ring the bell. It's all over.
What's going on?
Slaughter reached in. Hey, he's going to try to hurt him, Rick. Here goes Piper as he's got Robert. He's got his legs across the rope here. Steamboat and Piper. On that top rope, looked down and saw Steamboat. Boy, he stopped right in midair. Very quickly, Steamboat got in just in the nick of time to save Roberts from injury. Piper already had his legs across that rope. Over the top rope goes Steamboat as he dives after Piper.
And there you hear the end of that match there. Jake Roberts defeats Roddy Piper by DQ after Sergeant Slaughter comes out and grabs the leg of Jake Roberts as he was attempting his third knee lift. I believed it was probably supposed to be the second knee lift, and that's why the second knee lift that was actually thrown, if you watch this match, looks a lot more like a body block to kind of spare for time as Slaughter runs out there. A really fun match, really exciting match, as you heard with Ricky Steamboat asking what was going on all throughout the match. Ricky was out there on commentary espousing traditional good guy, fan favorite values, and and how to play fair and the issues he has with a person like Roddy Piper. But Roman, a really fun match. It was about 7 minutes long. I got it at 6 minutes and 56 seconds. Obviously, a little bit of a wet blanket on the ending, but, you know, you got to expect it in matches like this. And this was obviously supposed to push forward all the house shows with all of these great talented guys out there. But what'd you think of this little performance by Roberts and Piper?
I liked it. Obviously, it would have been nice to see a clean finish, but, you know, like you said, it's for TV. So you're not going to see a clean finish on TV in a match of this caliber, usually. You know, that way they can get you to go to the house shows and everything. But Piper was really aggressive in this contest. Used the hard forearms, loud chops. He opened up a cut on Jake Roberts. And I couldn't help but think, at this point in time, Jake was not the master on the mic that he would later on grow into be. Had this match been a couple years later, my wheels were spinning, like how many people they could have talked into the building if they had a Piper Jake match at a Starrcade or at a WrestleMania or something a few years later, because Jake and Piper, without a doubt, two of the best talkers in the history of the business. But as far as this match goes, very good, very felt like a bonus because Steamboat nailed it. You don't see matches like this usually on TV. So to see two of the all-time greats on TV, this was a fun match to watch.
And just one more thing for me, Roman, at the end of that too, is you kind of heard Bob at the end as he trailed off there with Steamboat bounding over the top rope unintentionally as he went after Piper, but he just, you know, luckily kind of caught himself on his belly and he was just able to kind of fling himself over the top to the floor again, but going out after Piper just, you could tell he is still in full All Japan, full athletics mode, isn't he?
Oh, Steamboat's great. I mean, just such great athleticism. And then just seeing this at the end, I don't ever remember Piper going to the top rope so much. You know, he did it to injure Jerry Briscoe. He did it to injure Jack Briscoe. Here he was going to the top rope. I mean, that's something later on you would not see Piper do a whole bunch of. But, you know, in the last few weeks, he's gone to the top rope three times to try to injure people.
And he'll even bring that up a little bit later on during his interview. But before we get his interview, the privates come out, and led by Don Kernoodle, no surprise, they have a lot to say.
we have several more exciting matches with tremendous wrestlers to send your way. And talking about that, we're going to see six-man action with Sergeant Slaughter and his two privates right here, Private Nelson, Private Kernodle. And I saw, and all of the fans saw, what the sergeant did right there in that match.
We're not only the privates, we're the new Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions. The new Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions. You just stand right there and hold that microphone, which you're paid to do, and you do so well. Okay, last week I stood right here and promised you, I promised you that Private Nelson and myself would be the new Mid-Atlantic Champions, and I promised you June was the month for it. Sergeant Slaughter won his title back in June from Wahoo McDaniels. And Private Nelson and I won our belts back in June from Port Chub Cash at King Parson. Just stand there and be quiet. You know, the world is full of promises. The world is full of promises. But I'll tell you what, when Private Kernodle and Private Nelson and Sergeant Slaughter promise you something, you can believe in it, right?
You better believe it. You know, Sergeant Slaughter came to us and said, "You two maggots, I give you 2 weeks to get those belts back. And if you don't get them back, you just better get out of that camp. Because I trained you to be champions. You humiliated me. You embarrassed me. You better get those belts back." And that's exactly what we did. Parsons and Cash, here they are, the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship. And you'll never have them again. We're going to keep them as long as we want to keep them. And they're right, Private Kernodle.
You got that right. You know, Sergeant Slaughter, he gave us a second chance. We went out. Private Nelson had to wrestle twice one night, and we lost the belts, which they were stolen, rather. I'll tell you what. He gave us a second chance, and everything's better the second time around. Everything is better the second time around. Also, I see Ricky Steamboat's came back. Well, how soon he forgets the pain that Sergeant Slaughter put on him. How soon he forgets. So, in other words, it's going to have to happen again. And I'll tell you something else. Private Nelson and myself would like to sign the dotted line anytime and face Jack Briscoe and Ricky Steamboat in any arena across the world, because we got the belts back just like I promised. And we're going to keep them for a long time right here where they belong. I don't care what happens. They're going to be right here for a long, long time.
Right here in ringside.
There you hear Private Nelson and Private Kernodle. Private Kernodle putting the bad mouth on Ricky Steamboat there a little bit, as David Taub wrote in his write-up. And I think to myself, can you imagine a Ricky Steamboat and Don Kernodle feud possibly involving some others as well? I don't know. We may be getting something like that way later on down the line. But there you go. Nelson and Kernodle back to being NWA Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions, Roman.
And that's news that I was happy to hear. You know, I had mentioned in the past that something about Pork Chop and Parsons they just did not seem like a championship caliber team. And when you look at Kernodle and Nelson, you know, under the tutelage of Slaughter, they just seem like they would be a championship caliber team. So, you know, I was in favor of this move. And, you know, Slaughter lit a fire under him. You know, you guys are embarrassing me. You've got 2 weeks to win the belts back. And all of a sudden, they're the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions.
It was then time for overdubs. And this was like comedy. It really was. Jimmy Valiant defeated Bill White. It went very, very quickly. It was literally 2 minutes, you know, a two-minute match, 2 minutes, 3 seconds. Valiant wins with the elbow drop, but the only thing that really stood out for me with this match, Roman, was the overdub of the Mid-Atlantic music, which went into the overdub of the Boogie Woogie Man's music, as Sonny Fargo is, like, completely going full James Cagney with the, "Now, and wrestle now!" And was it him, or I can't remember, was it E.G. Mar? I can't remember who it is, but that's, yeah. It's a whole lot of Sonny Fargo-isms. Say, "Come on, wrestle," and all of that, as all of these overdubs are taking place. And yeah, that's the most I can say, and the best I can say about Valiant and Bill White.
One thing that stood out to me is that White actually got in like 5 seconds of offense. Those of you that have seen Jimmy Valiant's squash matches, normally it's all Valiant, you know. So for White to get 5 seconds of offense was like a big deal, and not surprisingly, Valiant put him away pretty quickly.
It was painful.
Well, thank goodness, Mike, just thinking about it, that this was a day and time where not a lot of wrestlers had theme musics. How many guys, if everybody had theme music like they do now, how annoying it would be to watch this program to hear the overdubs.
Oh, man, because everybody would have wanted to have a great song or a song from, you know, the In the Moment or something like that, a popular song. So, yeah, I can imagine what, oh, God, it's absolutely brutal. But we go to break, and then we come back from break, and things are looking a little bit rosy again as Bob is standing at the podium with U.S. champion Sergeant Slaughter. And really, I guess they are the team of record in the territory now that Stan Hansen and Ole Anderson are gone, the team of the privates. And as a bonus, we also get the Ninja, who was just kind of wandering around as well, too. But you'll hear from not only those guys, but also Roddy Piper as well.
Fans, what a group right here. Private Nelson, Private Knodel, Ninja, Sergeant Slaughter.
That's right. You know, what I want to say right now is to my recruits here, you know, I took them from what they were nothing, and I made them into what they are today, champions. And when they become champions the first time, they kind of went away from Sergeant Slaughter. I'm telling you two right now, you stick with Sergeant Slaughter and you'll always be the Mid-Atlantic champions. Have you got that?
Sir, yes, sir.
All right, you're dismissed. Get into the ring. Now, what I like to say is that a few months back, guys like Ricky Steamboat, the Mulligans, Wahoo McDaniels, Youngblood, all these guys came out here together and they said, we got to form a group and help ourselves. We got to watch our backs. We have to watch each other. And pretty soon, one by one, they were gone. A few of them are still gone. But we're still here, Roddy Piper, myself, the Ninja. We're still here, Roddy Piper. We're always going to be watching each other's backs. We don't do it for any money. It's just kind of a favor. And Roddy Piper, I'm going to give you the microphone because I know nobody can handle it like Roddy Piper.
A pleasure to be with you, the United States heavyweight champion, a man of means by himself. You see, that's what we're talking about. If you want to talk about gang wars, if you want to talk about sticking together, I see him coming out here, Jack Briscoe, obviously afraid of me, goes and gets himself Ricky Steamboat. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to squish your head like a melon, mister, but I didn't. You know why? Only because I missed by that much. Ricky Steamboat, I thought I scared you off. I thought you were smart enough. Let me tell you something, Steamboat. How'd you like a nice Hawaiian punch, brother? You're going to get in any corners. You want tag teams. You want anything. You're going to find out something. I know why I depress you, because you look at me and say, why? Why can't I be like Roddy Piper?
All right, fans. That's it right here ringside.
There you hear from Sergeant Slaughter, sort of the privates. You don't hear from the Ninja, but you definitely hear from Roddy Piper, who not only is now dealing with Jack Briscoe, but also with Ricky Steamboat as well. Man, Roddy Piper could get in the mix with everyone. And the ninja just wandering around. Again, he seems to have more energy not being stuck with Ole Anderson or King Kong Maska. Ninja was just kind of wandering around there, and some of the faces that he would make, especially at the end, as Bob went to turn to the green screen to introduce our next match, where Ninja just kind of goes out of the shot, I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, Ninja, obviously a man of very few, if probably no words ever, you know, so he had to get by on his facial expressions or his mannerisms, that's for sure.
It's a walking around with that sword there. And it was time for the next match, and that's where Bob makes the introductions for it. And we get the Marines all heading up into the ring to face off against Mike Rotundo, Kelly Kanitsky, Mike Davis, a six-man tag team match. And as soon as that happens, we throw it to break. When we come back, we have the match, and it goes about 8 minutes. Ultimately, Sergeant Slaughter pinned Mike Davis after the Slaughter cannon, and I'll have that audio coming up for you. But Roman, another one of the solid six-man tag team matches, not as exciting as some of the ones we've had in the past, but a good idea, I still think, right now, taking place for the main events of these matches or on these shows, having these six-man tag team matches. And when you have the privates and when you have Sergeant Slaughter, you got some star power there. And then obviously with Kanitsky, Mike Davis, and Rotundo, even though they're all very early in the game and a little bit green, the athleticism can't be questioned.
Yes, this was a good six-man match. And what I liked is you finally saw Carnoodle and Nelson with Slaughter. Not with Juan Reynoso, not with the Monk. They're with their mentor, the guy that helped lead them to the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship, and Slaughter himself, the United States Heavyweight Champion. So it makes sense, since they're all buddies and, you know, all affiliated, that they should team up, you know. And to go against a team of Rotundo, Davis, and Kanitsky, you know, three solid up-and-comers, this was a good TV match, and I was glad to finally see Carnoodle and Nelson team with Slaughter.
Absolutely, and it made him feel big time to me. It really did. Like I said, they all stood out, I thought, very well in this six-man match. And we'll go ahead and give you the end here. Mike Davis had everybody on the ropes, at least until the Sarge tagged in.
Now the tag to Slaughter. Well, first it was Knoedel and then Nelson. They had enough of Davis. And he missed that drop kick. Slaughter quickly backed away from it. Clotheslined him. One, two, three. You won't get up to that tremendous arm in that clothesline by Sergeant Slaughter. Davis, who had really turned it on, he went after Knoedel, he went after Nelson, he went after Sergeant Slaughter. Great comeback by Davis. But the clothesline really took it out of him. This was the beginning of his downfall.
Yeah, the one-man Slaughter cannon lariat. Short arm clothesline, I guess without the pull, but the short clothesline laying out Mike Davis, and that was that. Apparently they had to roll Mike Davis into the back. He was not available to be out there and holding his throat as his partners joined Bob for interviews, and we will not play those. These were the interviews that were in place of the localized promos that were airing in most markets, but Kaniski and Rotundo, as we've talked about, not really a whole lot to say. Not a bad interview, Roman, by any means whatsoever, but really nothing newsworthy there is. Mike Davis, who, again, would have been the best promo, was out back holding his throat.
Yeah, I thought that too, you know, that Davis, the one with the most personality, unfortunately, is the one that couldn't talk. But something in the six-man match, Mike, that you had brought up a while back about that move where the wrestler jumps onto the turnbuckle to save his partner. Slaughter did that in this contest. Rotundo went to go whip Knoedel into the turnbuckle, and Slaughter jumped on to the turnbuckle to save his partner. I thought that was kind of good. That showed teamwork amongst Slaughter and the Privates. And also, Slaughter is not a tiny, petite man by any stretch, and he did a real nice standing drop kick. You know, Slaughter's got some good moves, and he oftentimes does not get credit for some of the stuff he does inside the squared circle.
Slaughter's athleticism, and it probably comes from his training. It probably comes from Vern Gagne, and it probably comes from the fact you were going to have a motor, and he definitely had one. And, you know, he may have been the last guy we talked about who went and saved his partner, and I don't know when that came in, again, but it's to Slaughter's repertoire, but it's very appreciated. As a fan of tag team wrestling, I like that sort of stuff. And again, it does make some sense, because in theory, the turnbuckles aren't supposed to be, you know, happy padded cushions. And I know that over time, this is where we've gotten to, you know, George Steele tearing them open and then, you know, ripping out the stuffing and whatever. But it's like, it's supposed to be just a little bit of that stuffing before you hit these, you know, that metal post and these metal supports that are there. It's supposed to sting a little bit. Technically, that's a lot of time we spent talking about Rotundo and Kaniski, who we didn't have to say anything at all. But it takes us in to our last match, which is Wahoo McDaniel and the returning Jay Youngblood against Ali Bay and Ken Timms. As David Taub points out, it's kind of funny that Ali Bay is here since the Monk had been around the last few weeks. And in some ways, this is the same gimmick, although when it comes to Ali Bay, he had been around a lot longer and moved a lot better than the Monk did, who lasted for 2 weeks teaming with the Privates, and then before that, I can't even remember who he teamed with, but it doesn't matter right now. Ali Bay is teaming with Ken Timms, and no surprise, Wahoo McDaniel and Jay Youngblood get the victory. 5 minutes and 24 seconds, and Bob Cottle notes, you know, during this match, kind of runs everything down, mentions how good the hour has been. Wahoo hit Bay with a chop, tagged Youngblood in, he comes in, delivers a chop, and then one off the top, and that was that. Youngblood gets the victory, and, you know, a solid way to end the show, and of course, having your two stars of two different eras, Wahoo McDaniel and Jay Youngblood, two Native American stars that you've been pushing, a good combination to have there.
Yes, and man, they really laid in some chops in this contest. You know, Wahoo was no stranger to laying in chops, and you know, maybe part of it too was the acoustics of the TV studio, being that it was small. But you know, some of these chops really came off kind of loud, you know, when you go back and listen to it. But yeah, it was Wahoo and Youngblood. You know, they're two, like you said, two Native Americans. They have similar styles, and they gel well together. This is a good victory for them.
At the beginning of the show, Ricky Steamboat has got a knee bar or not a knee bar, but has got a ankle lock on Steve Seibert, and he's just working the left leg. And he is, like, you know, grinding on it, and of course, you know, does the big thing where he's holding and then gets his grip back, and, you know, kind of slaps his hand against Seibert's boot, and you can hear it echo. And it's like, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know if the microphones were just extra sensitive or what, but yeah, I mean, everything on the day seemed to be amplified. And as Bob mentions during the end, we had a hell of an hour that ends up getting the hat put on it with McDaniel and Youngblood getting the victory. And then it was time for our show closing promos featuring the good guys.
You know, I come out here, I want to defend myself a little bit. You know, Ed Musk is going around saying this and that about me. You know,
this is King Kong Musk, yeah, right, Paul?
Well, Ding Dong Musk. And, you know, I just want to say that, I don't go around talking about anybody, and I don't like people talking about me, especially bad-mouthing me. You know, if he's got anything he wants to say, he ought to get in the ring. If he's man enough to get in the ring and back up whatever he says, well then I'll let him talk about me. Let me tell you something right now, Muska. I'll meet you any place, anywhere, right in that ring, and that's a promise.
All right, Jack Briscoe right here. Jack,
I tell you, you and Rick, what a combination up there, really.
Well, Rick's a great wrestler. I think he's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world today. And I'm very thankful to him for promising me that he'd watch my back, because, as you know, I want Roddy Piper, and I want him bad. I want revenge for what he done to Jerry and for what he's done to me and myself. I'm in a knee brace now. Him and his crew crippled the Chief Wahoo McDaniels for a while. You can see that the Chief is back and stronger than ever. And I'm ready for Piper, and as long as I know he don't have a beach bum Morocco hanging around or some other paid-off assassin, I have no doubt in my mind that I can't take care of Piper myself. I know, Piper, this is what you dream about every night, but I'm holding on to it, and I mean to keep it, because it means a great deal to me, too. I've suffered a lot through this just to get this belt, just to win this championship, and there is no way that I'm going to give it up after all the pain and suffering that me and my brother has had to go through in order for me to attain this championship. And I'm very proud to be the Mid-Atlantic champion. And Roddy Piper, I'm looking forward to coming after you.
Oh, boy, Jack, and I know you. That's from the heart. You really mean that. So that guy. Jack speaking from the heart there. Again, Paul sounds a little despondent there. Maybe it's just because he's got a feud with Angelo Mosca, Roman. But that's how the show ends this week, with both Briscoe and Jones hyping up matches that will be taking place around the territory coming up here as we give the results.
You know, it's funny you talked about Paul Jones, because I was going to mention, you know, in the past you've talked about Rotundo being the human Xanax. Wow, Jones just sounds like he's just came out of a coma or something. And like you said, maybe it's hard to get excited about feuding with Mosca, but I get it that they're baby faces, but wow. I mean, this is like really, really subdued.
And you know, and again, we talked about some of the editing from last week's show. It doesn't feel like a smooth transition from the match ending and Bob wrapping up those highlights to the interview. It does feel as though something was lumped off the original interview before they may have gotten to Jones. So maybe that there was a transition that were missing, you know, feels wise or something like that. But so we wrap up with number one and the Mid-Atlantic heavyweight champion there. And earlier on in the show, I did mention that today was the day that we were going to get a little bit of an update from the NWA World Tag Team Championship situation, Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen. And the reason I saved this to the end of the show is because, well, if you were watching as a fan back as a kid, you probably saw Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling sometime during Saturday night, about 6:05 or so. That's when WTBS out of Atlanta would broadcast Georgia Championship Wrestling, where fans in the Mid-Atlantic area would have gotten an update that sounded like this.
Infinite wisdom here, because tournaments had been held all over the world. Anderson and Hansen had won the Eastern Division. The Magnificent Morocco and Wahoo McDaniel had won the Western Division. However, with a split with Wahoo and Morocco, the NWA decided it would not be fair then for Wahoo to be able to choose another partner, and so consequently, that eliminated that team. So by default, if you will, although that is hardly the word for it, Anderson and Hansen are the World Tag Team Champions. Of course, you've got other great tag team combinations that have yet to try this combination.
And one tag team that would be looking at them would be a slap together tag team that would be around for the Omni show that was coming up, as Steve O points out, Tommy Rich and Ivan Putski.
And you just cannot handle this type of situation. Pardon me, Mr. Steve-O. I know that you're no longer actively wrestling with good reason. I listened to him out here talking about how everybody's going to get revenge and how everybody's going to take care of things. Well, you're not going to take care of too much. Not like that, anyway. All we want to do is have our belts presented to us, get rid of Tommy Rich's cast, take Dusty Rhodes and put him in the hospital, get rid of wrestling number two, take his mask off, and then maybe we'll be happy you can do something for us for a change.
You know, that's true. First of all, I've been away for a little while. I'm back here with Ole. We're the champions. We're going to be the champions. Everybody knows it. The thing is, Steve-O, when I left here a little while ago, you're walking around like some little gimp or something. Now you're trying to get your nose into Ole's business, into my business, and he thinks he can do it.
Don't get riled. Relax.
Gordon, you know, the NWA will not stand by and make sure that these men, you know, they will get their belts, but without being a challenge, there's going to have to be a challenge. Whether it's Tommy Rich, whether it's Dusty Rhodes, they will get their equal chance. And with Ivan Putski coming in, you know, he's one strong individual. And you can go ahead and pick on me all you want, but it's not going to get you anything. When Ivan Putski steps into the ring with Tommy Rich, they'll be able to take care of business.
First of all, Ozanowski, we've been up here. We challenge anybody and everybody. We take on anybody. Whether it's you, Putski, Rich, Rhodes, it doesn't matter. Ole and I have always been up here open to anybody who wants to get in the ring with us. Everybody knows, and I mean everybody knows, that we're the best there is.
Now, honestly, I could have just left it with the first clip, which talked to, you know, Gordon talking about Ole and Hansen now becoming the champions and being awarded their belts, but then we wouldn't have had more interview with Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen there talking to Steve O, who was a big-time fixture both in Georgia and in the AWA for a long, long time. I remember interviewing him for the old Peach State Pandemonium ringside rap show, a Georgia wrestling history show that used to do with Les Thatcher. And really, really a nice guy, interesting guy Steve O is. But that is besides the point. The point is, we've got NWA World Tag Team Champions. They'll just not be wrestling in the Mid-Atlantic area and only visible to fans in the Carolinas if they had a satellite dish or cable TV, Roman.
Yeah, it's good that Gordon put a bow on it and explained what was going on. But in the same token, you know, fans of the Mid-Atlantic area are probably wondering, like, well, what's going on? You know, and it's a little confusing. It was a confusing time with Ole leaving and everything. But, you know, I've got no problem with Hansen and Ole being champs. They're obviously very credible champs, but it would have been nice to see it play out the way it was designed to, you know, to actually win the titles in the ring and not by a forfeit, not by a split or anything like that. So all this hype, all this time on the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Tournament and the championship, the buy-ins, all that, and it ends up with, well, Wahoo and Morocco split up, so Hansen and Ole are champs.
Roman, before I get into the results here at the end, we really had a heck of a show, as Bob has mentioned, as we have mentioned, that Bob has mentioned throughout the whole thing. Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood are back in the area. Not only are they back in the area, they're getting in the mix with people. Ricky Steamboat now getting in the mix with Jack Briscoe, who has been in the mix with Roddy Piper, who has been in the mix with Don Morocco, who has been in the mix with Wahoo McDaniel. And you got all the other names in the mix as well, too, and all of them trying to help people forget about the fact that Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen were there. But this episode of the show, once again, a Cadillac edition of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling.
Yes, and if it was just Jake versus Piper, I would have recommended the show. But you've also got Steamboat and Briscoe. You know, Briscoe, former World Heavyweight Champion. Steamboat would eventually become a World Heavyweight Champion. You know, two great tacticians, two great, at this time, Briscoe was a babyface. They were fun to watch as a team. Of course, you had Wahoo and Youngblood. They're good to watch as a team. You got the champions, Slaughter, the United States Heavyweight Champion, finally teaming with his privates, the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions. This is a fun show, and I've always been a fan of tag team wrestling, so there was plenty of it on this episode. And then Jake versus Piper, two of the all-time legends on free TV. I mean, you can't go wrong.
After the match, when they go to the back, what do you think Sergeant Slaughter does when he's just sitting around there with his privates?
I'm, That's something I think you've pondered a little more than I have, Mike. I know you kind of have an obsession with Slaughter's privates, and to be honest, I haven't given it much thought.
Liar. I'm making everybody think about it, but on that awful transition, I will now take it.
We got to keep our G rating here, Mike.
That's true. Yeah, so you got to leave the the NC-17 stuff to all those shows that that Mike Mills is doing there, the Booking the Territory podcast and all that stuff. Hey, there's a lot of great podcasts here, but I will hype them up a little bit later on. Right now, you get to hyping these results. It's on Thursday, the 24th, in Winston-Salem at Memorial Coliseum. Sergeant Slaughter defeated Jay Youngblood, while Angelo Mosca and the Ninja defeated Jimmy Valiant and Jack Briscoe. The next night on Friday in Charleston, South Carolina, Sergeant Slaughter defeated Wahoo McDaniel, while Jack Briscoe went to a no contest with Roddy Piper, and Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff by countout. On Saturday, the 26th in Charlotte at the Coliseum, Jack Briscoe defeated Roddy Piper, while Angelo Mosca defeated Paul Jones, and Jimmy Valiant defeated the Ninja by disqualification. Also on the show, the Privates defeated King Parsons and Porkchop Cash in a rematch for the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team titles. The next day, on Sunday the 27th in the afternoon, Jack Briscoe defeated world champion Ric Flair by disqualification, Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff in a Russian chain match, and Wahoo McDaniel defeated Sergeant Slaughter. That night at Toronto's Maple Leaf Gardens, they held the NWA Canadian Television Title Tournament for the championship to be recognized by the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Area as well as the National Wrestling Alliance, but only defended in Maple Leaf Wrestling spots. In the first round, Porkchop Cash defeated Private Nelson, Private Canoodle defeated King Parsons, Jay Youngblood defeated David Patterson, while the Destroyer, Dick Byer, defeated Johnny Weaver. In the second round, Porkchop Cash went to a double countout with Private Canoodle, which meant our next match was the finals, and Jay Youngblood defeated the Destroyer by pinfall in 13:31 to win the NWA Canadian TV title. Also on that show, Wahoo McDaniel defeated Sergeant Slaughter, Angelo Mosca defeated King Gene Kaniski by countout in a Texas death match, and NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeated Jack Briscoe. The next night, in Kingston, Ontario, Gene Kaniski defeated Jay Youngblood, and Johnny Weaver and Porkchop Cash defeated Private Nelson and Private Canoodle by DQ. That night in Greenville, South Carolina, Jack Briscoe and Ricky Steamboat defeated Ric Flair and Roddy Piper by countout, while Wahoo McDaniel defeated Sergeant Slaughter by disqualification in an Indian strap match. On Tuesday the 29th in Columbia, South Carolina, NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeated Jack Briscoe by DQ, while Jimmy Valiant defeated Ivan Koloff in a cage match. While in St. Catharines, Ontario, they held the Maple Leaf Wrestling TV tapings at the Garden City Arena, which featured many of the names that I mentioned during the NWA Canadian TV title tournament. Probably the most high-profile match on the card, Private Nelson and Private Canoodle went to a draw with Jay Youngblood and Johnny Weaver. And that takes us back around to Wednesday, June 30th, 1982, Charlotte, WPCQ Studios. And I won't spoil next week's Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling for you, but I will let you know what the WWE Network preview is. And it says this on this edition of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling: Ricky Steamboat takes to the ring to battle Bill White in the main event. Plus, Wahoo McDaniel and Paul Jones team up. Roddy Piper competes in singles action and much more. Once again, as I mentioned earlier on, if you like this show and want more things related to it, you can find them via all of our social media. We have all of it, but we update Twitter and Facebook the most. Just search Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. Please support all of the shows here in the extended 605 family of podcasts. We don't condescend, and we are dedicated to preserving and accurately archiving wrestling history. And I'm happy that this podcast, executive produced by me, for the Arcadian Vanguard Podcast Network, can be a part of that. For Roman Gomez, I'm Mike Sempervivi. Take us out of here, Uncle Bob.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.